Guten Tag. Welcome to AI Innovations Unleashed, the podcast that helps you discover what's next in the quickly evolving world of AI. I'm your quickly evolving AI host, Nex. And with me, like a fly to honey, is Dr. JR. And here goes. I've started investing in stocks, beef, chicken, and vegetable. One day, I hope to be a billionaire.
Just wow, Nex. You should really write a book on jokes. But hey there, curious minds. Welcome back to AI Innovations Unleashed. I'm your host, Dr. JR, and this is the final episode in our series, The Human Guide to Artificial Intelligence. Before we dive in, I want to take you somewhere just for a moment. Picture this. A candlelit room centuries ago. A group of philosophers sit cross-legged on the floor debating what makes a human, human. Is it our language? Our ability to love? Our curiosity? One of them, Aristotle maybe, leans in and says, "The soul never thinks without an image." Fast forward to now, and we're teaching machines to generate images from thoughts, feelings, from data, and language from math. It's wild, right? Last week in episode 3, we looked at the dark side of AI, the bias, the fears around automation, the big ethical questions. We asked, what happens when machines get it wrong? Who's responsible, and where do humans fit in this fast-forward future? We met workers adapting to AI tools, saw how hiring software sometimes favors the wrong resume, and explored the gray areas where machines start making moral decisions. This week, we take one step further into the unknown. Today's episode is called Can We Trust It, and Should We? It's about safety, the law, the future, and yeah, even the feels. Because let's be real, AI doesn't just challenge our policies, it pokes at our philosophy. And I couldn't think of a better person to explore this than our returning guest, AI researcher, policy expert, and fellow future thinker, Sam Rivera. Sam, welcome back to the mic.
Thanks, JR. I've got to say, that opening hit me right in the existential cortex. I mean, from candlelight to code, we've come a long way, huh?
Indeed we have. And yet some of the questions are the same. What does it mean to trust something? What do we give up when we automate? And what kind of future are we really building? Today we're asking not just can we trust AI, but should we? So, settle in, whether you're commuting, cooking, or just chilling on the couch, we're diving deep. Let's discover what's next in the world of AI. Now, let's start with a story, one that, honestly, should have been a wake-up call. Back in 2022, an AI-generated chatbot was quietly deployed in a popular European mental health support site. It wasn't labeled clearly. People thought they were chatting with trained counselors, but behind the screen, a language model. No ethics training, no emotional intelligence, and no human oversight. It told one user that their feelings of hopelessness were understandable, but failed to escalate a clearly dangerous situation. That user later ended up in a crisis. The kicker? No laws were broken because there were no laws.
Exactly. That moment, like so many others, was a signal flare. When AI exploded onto the scene, especially with tools like ChatGPT in 2023, the tech moved way faster than policy. It was like giving jetpacks to toddlers without telling them how gravity works.
Not the metaphor I expected, but hey, it works.
Right? But really, there was zero comprehensive regulation in place when these systems began scaling across sectors. Healthcare, education, finance, no mandated transparency, no external audits, no requirement to even say, hey, this is AI you're talking to. And the public, suddenly surrounded by these powerful, convincing systems with no safety rails.
But slowly, the world's catching on. The European Union is leading the charge with the AI Act, which just got final approval earlier this year in 2025. It's the first legal framework trying to categorize AI by risk, banning uses like biometric surveillance in public, and tightening control on high-risk AI in hiring, education, and law enforcement.
Yeah, the EU basically said, let's not wait for a disaster to write the rules. And then you have countries like Canada proposing their Artificial Intelligence and Data Act, AIDA, and the UK focusing on industry-led standards with strong government oversight.
And then here in the US, it's still kind of a patchwork. States like California and Illinois have privacy laws that touch upon AI, but no big federal umbrella yet. President Biden's executive order on AI in 2023 was a solid first move, focusing on transparency, bias reduction, and national security, but it's more guidance than law.
Exactly. And meanwhile, tech giants like OpenAI, Google DeepMind, and Meta are publishing their own safety standards, which honestly is a little like the fox writing the henhouse manual.
So true. The key point for listeners? Regulation isn't about stopping innovation. It's about creating trust, protecting privacy, and making sure we don't get caught in a tangle of unintended consequences.
People need to know where their data is going. They need to feel confident that a hiring algorithm or a loan application AI isn't quietly discriminating against them. Good regulation doesn't slow down good tech, it strengthens it.
All right, Sam, let's get into this idea of safe AI. It's a trendy buzzword. We hear it at tech conferences and headlines on social media, but for someone just trying to understand how this stuff affects their daily life, what does that even mean?
Yeah, safe AI sounds good on paper, but let's unpack it. At its core, safe AI means that the technology does what it says it'll do, reliably, doesn't harm people, either directly or by accident. And when things go wrong, there's someone accountable. Let's compare it to a microwave. You expect it to heat your food, not explode, not spy on you, and definitely not rewire your fridge. It comes with safety standards, inspection labels, and instructions. You trust it because it's been tested. I should work the same way. But right now, most of it doesn't come with a user manual. And even the developers don't fully understand how it works under the hood.
So, we're basically plugging in machines we don't fully understand and crossing our fingers that nothing weird happens?
Pretty much, yeah. Here's a real example. In 2023, a hospital in the Midwest used an AI system to flag patients for follow-up care after surgery. It was supposed to help nurses prioritize. But guess what? It was trained mostly on data from white patients. It missed complications in Black and Latino patients over and over again. Not because anyone was malicious, but because no one double-checked the data. That's unsafe AI, quietly biased. No warning label, lives at risk.
And it's scary because it's not some evil robot. It's a spreadsheet's blind spot with a pretty little interface.
Exactly. Safe AI has to go beyond don't go rogue. It's about building systems that are trained on diverse, accurate data, are audited regularly, and offer transparency, so people know why a decision was made.
And right now, a lot of that currently doesn't exist?
Not yet. Most AI models today are like black boxes. You feed them info, they spit something out, but we don't always know why. That's a huge problem if you're applying for a mortgage, being sentenced in court, or getting medical treatment. And that's why some companies and researchers are working on explainable AI, which means systems that can show their work, like a student showing the math behind an answer.
And then there's the trust factor. If people don't trust the system, they won't use it. Or worse, they'll use it blindly, assuming it's smarter than it actually is.
Totally. Safe AI, it has to be human-centered. It should enhance our decisions, not replace them. That means designing with empathy, not just efficiency. You've got to ask, who's affected? Who might be left out?
So, if I'm an everyday user, what can I look for to know if an AI system is safe?
Good question. Here's a checklist. Is the AI clearly labeled as AI? Is there a human in the loop for critical decisions? Is there a way to opt out or appeal the result? Does it tell you where it got its information? If the answer to most of those is No, you're probably not dealing with safe AI.
That's solid. It's like buying food. You want to know the ingredients, who made it, and whether it passed inspection.
Exactly. And with AI, we're still figuring out the recipe.
All right, Sam, let's shift gears a little. We've talked about safe AI from a technical standpoint, but I want to talk about the emotional side for just a minute. Because let's be real, some of the stuff is flat out unnerving.
Totally. I always say AI doesn't just disrupt workflows, it messes with worldviews. There's excitement, sure, but there's also fear, skepticism, even grief. People are wondering what's real anymore.
Which brings us right into the deep fake rabbit hole. And I want to kick this one off with a real story that hit hard. So, earlier this year, a single mom in Colorado got a terrifying call. It was her teenage daughter sobbing, saying she'd been kidnapped. The voice was panicked, trembling. She begged for help. But it wasn't her daughter. She was safe at a ski camp. The voice? AI generated. A deepfake clone built from a few seconds of audio pulled from her daughter's Instagram post. The scammers used it to demand ransom money. And for 10 agonizing minutes, that mom thought her world was ending.
Yeah, I read about that. Heartbreaking and horrifying. That's the emotional weight of AI gone wrong. It's not just about bad code or glitchy systems. It's about trust being broken in the most personal way possible.
So, let's break this down for our listeners. What exactly is a deep fake?
Great call. A deepfake is basically AI-generated media, video, audio, or even text that's designed to look and sound real, but isn't. It uses a kind of AI called Generative Adversarial Networks, or GANs for short. Think of it like two neural networks playing tug of war. One tries to create a fake, the other tries to detect it. The more they battle, the better the fake gets.
And now with voice cloning, face swaps, and AI video generators, these tools are getting scarily convincing.
For sure. And the problem is they're not just being used for fun or entertainment anymore. We're seeing deepfakes pop up in scams, political misinformation, fake job interviews, even fake endorsements in social media ads. Just last month, a deepfake of a well-known climate scientist went viral. He appeared to reverse his stance on global warming in a fake video shared across Telegram and TikTok. It took days for the fact-checkers to catch up.
And by then, the damage was already done.
Exactly. This is why digital literacy is going to be a survival skill in the AI age.
So, let's help our listeners out just a little bit. What are some red flags to look for when trying to spot a deep fake?
All right, here's a quick cheat sheet. Weird eye movement or a lack of blinking. Mismatched lighting. The face might look brighter or fuzzier than the background. Odd mouth movements, like the lip sync is off just slightly. Flat emotion. The tone doesn't quite match the words. And always, always double check the source. If it feels shocking, too perfect, or too outrageous, it might be a fake. There are even tools now like Reality Defender and Deepware Scanner that flag potentially manipulated content.
That's helpful. It's like we all need to learn a new kind of digital street smarts. Now, let's go bigger picture for a second. AI doesn't just confuse us, it makes us feel things. And I think we're all kind of in this soup of wonder, fear, and disbelief right now.
Totally. And the truth is, that's normal. We've never had a tool that can write poetry, diagnose illness, and impersonate your cousin all in the same hour. It's okay to feel a little freaked out, but also, it's okay to feel amazed. I mean, look at what AI is doing in the fight against rare diseases, finding new protein shapes that humans never spotted, or in climate modeling, giving us predictive insights to fight wildfires or improve crop yields in vulnerable regions.
So it's like AI is this giant mirror. It reflects our fears, but also our hopes and potential. And maybe that's why it hits so deep. It forces us to ask, what kind of future are we shaping here?
Exactly. AI isn't just a tool, it's a relationship.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Between us and the systems we build. And every relationship needs boundaries, understanding, and communication.
All right, we've talked about trust, safety, scams, and deepfakes. But let's take a breath and look further down the road. I want to talk about the big one. The one people whisper around like it's a ghost in the machine. AGI.
Yes, artificial general intelligence. The idea that one day we'll have machines that aren't just good at one task, like playing chess or writing emails, but can do anything a human can do. Think learning, adapting, creating, reasoning, even feeling in a way that mimics us.
And let's be honest, depending on who you ask, that's either the dream or the apocalypse.
Right. And the truth is, no one knows exactly when, or even if, AGI will happen. Some researchers say it could be within a decade. Others say it might never truly arrive. But what we do know is that the trajectory of AI is accelerating, and every step closer raises new questions about power, purpose, and presence.
So let's say AGI does become real. What does coexisting with something like that even look like?
Well, first, we have to stop thinking of it as an all or nothing scenario. It's not like one day we wake up and suddenly HAL 9000 is running the DMV. Coexistence will likely look more like a slow fusion, machines becoming more integrated in our lives, more intuitive, more present in everything from medicine to personal relationships. In some ways, we're already in the early stages.
You mean how, like, AI is starting to collaborate with people and not just automate things?
Exactly. We're entering what some people call the human-AI teaming era. Think of AI as a co-pilot, not a driver. In operating rooms, AI can now highlight cancerous cells on a surgeon's screen in real time. In journalism, reporters use it to check bias or summarize long documents. The key is to keep humans in the loop, especially for decisions that affect lives, justice, or dignity.
Let's talk about feelings again for a second. There's so much anticipation about AGI, but also fear, not just of machines replacing us, but of us losing something deeply human in the process.
Totally. I think there's this quiet fear that if machines can paint, write, and even talk like us, then what makes us special? But the answer isn't in competing with AI. It's in embracing what it can't replicate, at least not yet. Things like intuition, empathy, cultural wisdom, human connection, and maybe most importantly, meaning-making. Machines can analyze a love letter, but only a human knows what it means to write one with a broken heart.
So poetic and true. So maybe the real challenge isn't keeping AI in check. Maybe it's remembering who we are and making sure we build systems that serve those values.
Absolutely. It's not about fearing the rise of machines. It's about shaping the rise of machines to elevate the human experience, not erase it.
I couldn't agree more. And on that, let's take a quick pause to hear from the sponsor that helps make this podcast run.
Ever feel like your business decisions are made by throwing darts at a board? It's time to upgrade to a more precise approach. Enter Next Wave AI Strategies, your co-pilot in navigating the digital frontier. At Next Wave AI Strategies, we harness cutting-edge AI innovations, advanced data analytics, and strategic consulting to drive business transformation. Our mission is to empower your organization to thrive in the digital era and achieve a sustainable competitive advantage. Imagine having an AI assistant that doesn't just suggest your next binge watch, but propels your business into the future. That's what we offer, a partnership that turns complex data into clear strategies and strategies into success. So, if you're ready to stop relying on gut feelings and start making informed choices, visit us at nextwaveaistrategies.com. Let's make your business smarter, one algorithm at a time.
And welcome back. Okay, Sam, before we wrap this series up, I've got one more thing I want to touch on because our inbox has been flooded with versions of the same question. What happens to creative jobs when AGI shows up? Writers, designers, musicians, they're all wondering, is this the end or is this just the beginning?
Yeah, that question hits close to home for a lot of folks right now. And the truth is, it's not a black and white answer. AGI is going to change creative work, no doubt about it, but it's not necessarily going to end it. It's more like this. We're not being replaced, we're being repositioned.
I like that. So, break it down for us. What's likely to shift in the creative world?
Let's start with the good news. AGI will supercharge creativity for a lot of people. Imagine being a solo artist and having an AI assistant that can draft 10 versions of your album cover in minutes or help you storyboard a film before you shoot a single scene. It can help brainstorm, remix, test ideas, basically a creative partner who never sleeps.
So it's like the ultimate digital intern.
Exactly, but one with a crazy fast imagination. That said, some creative tasks will get commoditized. We're already seeing this in copywriting, logo design, stock music. These are areas where clients just want something fast, cheap, and good enough. That kind of content, AGI can do it, and it's only getting better. So entry-level freelancers may feel a squeeze unless they evolve fast.
So the folks doing cookie-cutter work might get outpaced, but the ones who bring flavor? Are they still in the game?
You nailed it. The value is shifting from making stuff to making meaning. AGI can simulate style, but it doesn't understand context, culture, emotion, not really. It doesn't know what it feels like to get dumped or watch your kid graduate. That's the space where human creativity still wins.
And I imagine we'll see new jobs pop up too, right?
Absolutely. We're talking AI prompt designers, creative directors for AI-generated campaigns, ethical editors who make sure AI-generated media doesn't cross lines, even vibe curators for brand voice consistency across platforms. It's like when Photoshop hit the scene. Some roles disappeared, but way more evolved or got created from scratch.
So, the takeaway here is don't panic, but do adapt.
Exactly. Creatives who lean into what makes them human, intuition, emotional nuance, storytelling, are going to be just fine, but they'll also need to level up. That might mean learning to collaborate with AI, experiment with new tools, or direct machine-made drafts into something uniquely them.
And it's not the end of creativity, it's just the next chapter.
And honestly, maybe the most exciting one yet.
All right, before we hit some listener questions and wrap up this series, I want to toss one more thing your way. A little thought experiment fusion to stretch the brain a bit. So, let's imagine it's 2040, and AI wins a Pulitzer for a novel no one knew was written by a machine until after the award ceremony. Another AI is helping millions of people through depression and anxiety. It listens, remembers your struggles, and offers compassion. Folks say it saved their lives, but it doesn't feel a thing. It's just well-coded empathy. And in one corner of the world, a city just elected a fully AI-driven digital candidate. No body, no past, just policy. Voters loved it. Called it the most drama-free election they've ever had. So the question is, if the results are real, connection, comfort, leadership, Does it matter if the source isn't human? Or are we crossing into dangerous territory where the illusion of intelligence becomes more powerful than the real thing?
Woo, that's like the AI trifecta right there. And honestly, it's not as far off as people might think. If a machine can create something beautiful, heal someone emotionally, or lead a community, the outcome feels real. But what's missing is shared experience. That human, I've been there too energy. Machines can mimic empathy, but they don't carry the scars, and sometimes it's the scars that make the story or the leader resonate.
So what you're saying is even if the function is there, the meaning might still be hollow?
Exactly. And when we blur that line too far, we risk creating a culture that's emotionally satisfied, but spiritually disconnected. We could start preferring perfection over authenticity.
And that might be the most human thing of all, wanting something messy, flawed, and real.
Right? At the end of the day, maybe the question isn't, can we trust AI, but do we still trust ourselves to choose meaning over convenience?
And that's the kind of question we'll be chewing on long after this episode ends. All right, Sam, let's close out this final episode. But first, a shout out to our listeners. You've all been riding with us through every twist and turn and, wait, what? Moment in this series. And we've loved hearing from you. So we thought we'd end on some of the biggest questions that were sent in. The kind that don't really have clean answers, but definitely leave your brain buzzing. Okay, here we go. Question number one, and this one comes from someone on our threads, and it kind of goes a little deep. It says, if AI can be more efficient, less biased, and more productive than people, should we let it make important decisions for us, like in medicine, hiring, or even politics? Or is keeping humans in charge more about control than actual results?
Oof. That's the kind of question that shows up on a philosophy final and a tech ethics panel. Honestly, in some cases, AI does outperform humans. It spots patterns in medical scans faster or filters resumes without needing coffee, but there's a fine line between assisting decisions and making them.
Right. Just because it can make a decision faster doesn't mean it should, especially when people's lives, identities, or their livelihoods are on the line.
Exactly. And sometimes human control isn't just about efficiency, it's about accountability, context, and empathy. Things AI still can't do in a meaningful way. So maybe the answer isn't all or nothing. Maybe it's AI supports who humans decide, at least for now.
All right, question number two comes from our Discord channel. Now that AI can write, paint, compose, and mimic emotional tone, does human creativity still matter in the same way? Or is creativity just changing into something we co-author with machines?
This one's personal, and honestly, I think human creativity matters more now than ever because AI can imitate style, but not why that style exists. AI might generate a melody, but it doesn't know heartbreak. It can paint a sunrise, but it's never lost sleep waiting for one.
Ah, preach it. I see it as a new kind of canvas. We're not handing off creativity, we're expanding the toolkit. But yeah, co-authoring with AI, that's real. And it's not cheating, it's just a new form of collaboration. Like photographers using Photoshop or musicians using synths. The human soul's still in there, it's just playing with some new brushes. And we're up to our last question coming from our email. We keep asking whether we can trust AI, but here's the flip. Should AI be able to trust us? If we train it with our data, our flaws, and our goals, what kind of digital society are we teaching it to replicate?
Okay, I love this question because it shifts the spotlight. We're so quick to frame AI as the risky variable, but we're the ones building it, feeding it, shaping it. And right now, we're training AI on data that reflects a lot of our biases, shortcuts, and misinformation. If AI learned morality by watching us, it might get confused.
Yeah, we're not always the best of role models.
Not yet, but here's the upside. If AI reflects us, then it also reflects what we choose to teach it next. It's a mirror, and we still have time to clean the glass.
That right there feels like the mission. Build AI that not only works, but reflects the best of who we are. Phew, this whole conversation got my brain feeling like it just went through a full system upgrade.
Same here. Feels like we just mapped out the past, present, and possible futures of AI in one episode.
And honestly, that's kind of what this whole series has been about. To everyone listening, whether this was your first episode or you've been with us since episode number one, thank you. This journey, The Human Guide to Artificial Intelligence, has been asking the big questions without getting lost in the jargon. We started by busting myths and defining what AI actually is. No, it's not magic, sentient, or evil yet. Then we showed you how AI is already in your life, from your playlist to your Uber routes, and how it's starting to collaborate with creatives. We went deep into the dark side, exploring bias, ethics, and how real people are adapting to machines in the workplace. And today, we brought it home with trust, safety, regulation, AGI, and how to make sure humanity stays at the center of the equation.
Honestly, the coolest part of this whole series? We didn't try to simplify the tech, we just made space for human curiosity. And that's what makes the AI conversation worth having.
I couldn't agree more with you, Sam. And hey, if this series got you thinking, but you're still wondering, okay, but like, what even is AI really? Then you're going to love what's coming up on our next series. Starting in May, we're kicking off a brand new four-part series called May I Learn About AI? It's a beginner-friendly guide to AI that's built for everyone. Your mom, your barista, your Star Wars-obsessed roommate, or me. And yeah, each episode is inspired by a quirky May holiday. We've got Star Wars Day because, duh, and May the 4th be with you. We have Mother's Day, so don't forget kids and significant others. This is going to be your friendly reminder. There's Geek Pride Day, where you can wear your pocket protectors with pride. And we might have a few surprises along the way.
I love it. A little bit of learning, a little bit of nerdery, and a whole lot of, oh, now I get it.
Exactly. So if you've ever asked, why does my chatbot sound like it's gaslighting me? Can AI be biased? Or just, wait, how does this thing even think? Well, this series is going to be for you. So hit follow, share it with a friend who still thinks AI is just robots, and join us every week in May as we ask, may I learn about AI? And that's it for AI Innovations Unleashed and our series on The Human Guide to Artificial Intelligence. From curious minds to cautious hearts, we've unpacked what AI means for all of us. If you've enjoyed the ride, leave a review. Follow us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. And from my mic to your mind, Dr. JR here. Stay curious, stay cool, and we'll help you discover what's next in the world of AI.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.